This is Real Estate Journeys, episode 92.
Welcome to Real Estate Journeys, here to help you build your cash-flowing real estate empire that you've been dreaming of. This is about real estate investors who have escaped the soul-crushing 9-to-5 rat race by taking action, leveraging relationships, and gaining the financial independence. It's time to stop making excuses and get the insight and knowledge you need to become a successful real estate investor. This is your host, Matthew Baltzell.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Matty B, aka Matthew Baltzell. Welcome back to Real Estate Journeys, the exclusive podcast for real estate investors looking to scale to 100 units and become location independent. So guys, I know a lot of us are struggling with social media at times, and there's this new thing called LinkedIn. I don't know if you've heard about it, but a lot of people are focusing their social media content and going over to LinkedIn and developing some really good organic strategies. And today's guest is going to help us with learning more about LinkedIn and helping ourselves elevate our business and our real estate careers. His name is Yonah Weiss. He works in cost segregation at Madison Specs. He's a very knowledgeable man on LinkedIn. I've had him on. I should have looked this up before I started, but he's been on one of the earlier episodes. We're pushing 90 episodes now. So he's definitely been on, I will say, one of the early third podcasts. But with all that said, Yonah, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Matthew. It's been it was a pleasure the first time, and I'm doubly honored to be back. Have you had anyone else back as a double guest yet?
Well, Omar's on weekly.
Omar's like a regular.
Omar's on weekly. And I actually
Omar doesn't count.
I was like, oh, I've had Omar, and I'm like, have I had anybody else on? So you are the first. You are the first one. You made the best impression. You're the guy. Very cool. Awesome. So, I know a lot of people are starting to go over to LinkedIn. And can you give me the people that are listening to this a little bit about, you know, why you started utilizing LinkedIn? I know you started developing these campaigns called the 10-Day CRE Challenge. How did you even start dabbling in LinkedIn and starting focusing your content on there?
Well, LinkedIn, I mean, first of all, it's not a new platform. I mean, it's been around for, I've had an account for a decade at least. Right. But up until about 2 years ago when Microsoft bought LinkedIn, I think that's when things started to change, you know, in late 2016, 2017, there became to be more of like a social media platform as opposed to just like a virtual resume, right? LinkedIn was just like a place you put your resume, like people look for jobs, they want to find you, you talk all about how great you are and like all the positions that you had, and like that was it. But now in the past, you know, 2 years, like I said, it started to become a social media platform where you could post original content, as opposed to originally the only thing you could post was like articles. Or write blogs, you know, your own blogs. And that was very popular for a long time, for about 10 years ago, you know, until about, you know, two, three years ago. And then it started to change over. So that's exactly the point where I like logged into LinkedIn and I was like, hey, something's going on here. Like, it's not just like resumes and not just like, you know, Wall Street Journal articles. There's like some guy with a video, like talking about, you know, personal branding. And I'm like, whoa, that's interesting. And I just started naturally following people who were in the marketing business. And I figured, listen, I don't know anything about social media, right? I didn't have a Facebook account, nothing. I got a LinkedIn account. And I'm like, let's see what this has to offer. And I saw people posting, and then I saw some guy who was like a media, personal branding expert, and like media guy, you know, has a marketing firm. And he's doing this 30-day LinkedIn challenge, okay, which you post every single day for 30 days. And he was teaching people. It was called, I think it was called 30 Days. Yeah, 30 Days Social. It no longer is in existence, but it was a platform. It was just like a resource for free to teach you everything about this platform, how to use it, what to do, what not to do, different types of creating original content, you know, long-form text, all different types of content. And I just like, I jumped on the bandwagon and it's been all uphill since then.
And is that what, is that where you've developed the 10-day CRE challenge?
So that kind of came, you know, with the same idea with that. What compelled me to become more active in LinkedIn was only once I started posting consistently. And I saw that by posting consistently original content and being actively engaged on the platform, commenting and liking and sharing, engaging with other people, I saw only when I was doing that consistently every single day, was I getting any results? Was I actually growing a network? Was I actually building relationships? And therefore, what actually ended up happening was drive a lot of business.
Mm-hmm.
And, but when I stopped, it kind of, you know, petered off. So I saw that this is, what is the challenge of LinkedIn? The main challenge is just being consistent. So that's where I came up with this idea of this commercial real estate. Cause I wanted to work within our industry.
Yeah.
Right. And there's so many great people in the industry. And actually the idea kind of was a connection of a few different things. It was this 30-day challenge that I did. It was some other, you know, marketing people that I saw, you know, posting about how you have to engage with other people. You have to be posting consistently. And then I noticed that there's something, I don't know if you've seen before, but on there's something called the Social Selling Index. Have you ever seen that?
Is that like Social Blade? Like you're like
No, it's actually built into LinkedIn. It's actually part of it's a I guess a status kind of thing of LinkedIn.
Okay. No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, you can just go to LinkedIn. I don't
even know. Is it for paid accounts or is it for
I'm not sure if it's only for paid accounts, but is, I have Sales Navigator, I have a premium account, so I have that. But I think anyone can get that. And I think if you just Google Social Selling Index LinkedIn, you'll come up with like where everyone has like a score. And it's based on, you know, a few different things, establishing your personal brand, you know, finding the right people, you know, networking, connecting with people, engaging with insights, meaning being active on the platform itself and building relationships, connecting with people and engaging with people. And you actually get a score based on those things. And then they rank you on this Social Selling Index based on your industry. Based on your network, you know, how, where are you versus, you know, versus the rest of your network? You have, I have like close to 10,000 connections, you know, so how am I ranked versus them on this score? And then you have based on your industry. So my industry is commercial real estate. And I noticed that the industry commercial real estate, the average person has a social selling score of 22 out of 100.
Pretty low.
Okay. Pretty low. Okay. My score is 82 out of 100.
Now?
Okay, now, yeah.
Okay. What was it so before?
It was like in this 50s or you know, something like that, like 50, whatever. I actually only started paying attention to it once I started becoming active. But it, but apparently from what I heard, like 80, anything above 80 is like nobody has that. So I don't even know who has like a 90 or I've never seen that.
Yeah.
But I'm like the top one in my industry, top 1% in my network. Right. But I noticed like commercial real estate, for some reason, people are just not active. They're not using it. So I wanted to create this thing specifically for our industry so that to just encourage people to use this platform, which is totally underutilized, and the organic reach, meaning you don't have to pay for anything.
Yeah.
Right. You're not, we're not talking about Google ads. We're not talking about Facebook ads. We're talking about just actively posting original content and engaging with people. It's totally, totally free. I mean, besides for your time.
Mm-hmm. And what do you recommend as far as, you know, once you started going down the rabbit hole and researching, you did that 30-day, took that 30-day course or that challenge, and you started learning more about content, short form, long form, video. What have you kind of noticed? What has worked best for you? Or are there certain trends that you notice that work better on LinkedIn than maybe other platforms?
Definitely. Two things work the best, which is really interesting. They're kind of two things you wouldn't even expect. One thing that works the best is posting just long form text. So not articles. Okay. I'm not talking about posting articles that used to be called like pulse articles. I'm not talking about writing an article. Those actually get almost no reach whatsoever. Literally, when I say no reach, my average posts I'm posting every day, you know, usually get about 2,000 views. Okay. You know, some are, you know, 1,000, some are up to 10,000, 20,000, but average is say 2,000 to 3,000 views. Okay. Articles get about 100 views. Okay, just to show you the difference. I'm not talking about articles. Long form text, you actually get 1,300 characters in a post. If you go to the top of the LinkedIn page, start a post, and just write. Do not put any links in there, because links on LinkedIn, for that reason, don't work that well. Mm. LinkedIn wants you to stay on the platform, so putting a third-party link, the algorithm has built in that it will actually show that post less.
Mm.
So that's the one. That's the number one thing that has worked for me. And I, like I said before, posting consistently, posting your thoughts, posting whatever you want, you know, just, you know, describing things. The second thing is actually engaging and commenting on other people's posts.
Okay.
Because what that does, if you ever looked at your LinkedIn feed, okay, if you just go to the top, if anyone's listening to this right now and you have your LinkedIn open, your app or your desktop open, just hit the home button and you'll see on your LinkedIn feed, right, the top of your feed, you'll see a post, okay? You'll see, start scrolling down, you'll see a bunch of posts. But most of those posts you'll see are not going to be original posts. I mean, from a person, it's going to say, you know, so-and-so liked this or so-and-so commented on this. You know, you'll see some promoted ads and then you'll see another one, so-and-so commented on this post, and you'll see someone else's post. You may have an original one that you'll have, you know, every one out of, you know, five or one out of 10 will be someone's post just by itself, who's your first connection. But my point here is that what LinkedIn is showing you on your home feed is what the other connections of yours are active on and not necessarily what they're posting. So if I'm commenting on other people's posts, that's going to show up in everyone else's feed. The fact that I commented on Matthew Wotzel's post.
Yeah.
Right. It's going to show up on Omar's feed. He's going to say, hey, Yona, Matt, together. Right. Great. But what that's going to do for me or for you, the listener, is that establishes your personal brand. Because every time someone sees your name and sees your tagline, they immediately connect who you are, your face, with what you do.
Very true.
Now, if you're trying to establish your brand, you know, visibility is probably one of the most important things. So just being seen, commenting, and being actively commenting on other people's things, not only do you get the attention of the person who made the post, which is a huge benefit, a great strategy, because if you want to get, you know, the attention of someone in a positive way, you're going to write something positive on one of their posts. They will notice.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, you also get the attention of everyone else that's seeing that.
Love it. Love it. Where, I think I saw you, or maybe you were experimenting, with the link. And if you want to place a link, do you place it in the first comment? Does that still hurt the algorithm? Like if you're like, 1300 characters and you're like,
right,
I just wrote this killer article and I just really want people to read it. Can you put a link in the first comment after you post it? Or does that still, what have you found out about that?
Yeah, I do that a lot. I find that helps. It just because, like I said, putting the link in the post itself is going to kind of turn the algorithm off from that post. Although, you know, putting the link in the comments is also something that, you know, works sometimes, sometimes not. It's really just a kind of experimental thing.
Yeah.
I do it often. But, you know, I can't say definitively what works. Again, I'm not an expert. I'm not a, you know, marketing. I'm just telling you from my personal experience.
For sure. And then as far as your strategy is concerned with commenting, like, are you making it, obviously you're making it a daily practice. Do you say, hey, I'm going to leave 15 comments, or I'm just going to do one hour and whatever I come up with, have it be? Like, what's your strategy there?
I try to be consistent and to post every day, my own post, and then comment on at least 10 other posts every day.
Okay.
You know, I'll scroll the feed. I'll look at certain people's comments. I'll, you know, search through hashtags, search through things that try to find something that I know that I'm going to add value to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not just going to comment like, hey, congrats, like great job. I'll try to find something where I can actually add value. Too, and not, you know, try to just be, not sell, you know, don't try to be pushy, right? Like someone said, like, what was the word you used? Like, selling is smelling.
Like, I don't know who said that. I was like, oh, maybe I know. Smelling is, Smelling is caring. Smelling is selling. I don't know. I don't know who said that. I don't know.
Right. Someone said that. But okay. The point is that you don't want to come across as a salesman. Like, you don't want to hijack someone else's post by like, hey, check out, you know, what I do. Yeah. No.
Like those people on YouTube, those people that are YouTube are like, hey, I got a new drop shipping store. Check out my store. You're like, dude, what? Like, I'm learning about the economy and you want me to like go buy crackers from like China and like have them shipped over. Like, what? Yeah. Great.
Right.
Totally credible, dude. Let me click on this.
Right. You're totally going to click on that guy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, you know, maybe it works. I don't know. I don't know the marketing strategy there. What, let me ask you, where does video come into play with all this? Are you posting video once a week? Are you not doing video? Cause I was reading about, posting the original video on LinkedIn gets more traction than if you were to take your video, like let's say I take this podcast episode and I post it on YouTube and then I take the link and I say, oh great, like
just drop it in the post.
Yeah, Yona and I killed it, we dropped it in the post, blah blah blah, and I comment, and I'm still guilty of that, I still do that. Or you have download the original file and then you upload the original file to YouTube. I heard that gets more traction. Can you speak a little bit about on the behalf of video and where that formulates in the strategies and if that something like that is true as far as video?
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. It does work. Like you're saying, basically it goes back to what we said before about putting a link in a post, right? Dropping that YouTube link in your post is what it's doing is taking you off of LinkedIn, you know, to a third party. Now, sometimes LinkedIn will actually play the YouTube live there. Depends on what the link is. If it's a long, I've seen it sometimes work, sometimes not work. So I'm not sure if it works all the time, but definitely uploading organic video into LinkedIn is really where you're going to get the most reach from video. And video is very powerful, as you know.
Yeah.
Right. And you should try to take advantage of that. So the best way to do it is to, you know, take a video. And unfortunately for LinkedIn, you only have up to 10 minutes. So you can only take like snippets. I don't know why they have that, but I guess just from experience, like user experience, the way that LinkedIn's set up, they're not, you know, there are like these private groups which don't work, you know, but the main feed is kind of meant for, you know, people scroll and they try to look at something, you know, for people with a short attention span. So I'd say if you are going to do it, number one, make sure to put subtitles in your video because 80% of people watch video with sound off. And it makes sense. Like people who are LinkedIn, you know, a lot of times people are at work, right? And they're like checking their LinkedIn, right? It's like, oh, it's professional. You know, I'm doing business right
researching.
Now. Right?
Researching Yona. What is going on the holidays? Oh, great.
So you're actually going to be, stuck. People are not going to even get what your content is if you don't put subtitles in. And it's pretty easy to do nowadays. There are tons of apps out there that do it for free or virtually for pennies.
Wait, do you know any of those apps? Can you give us a little plug? Can you give us a, do you know any of those?
Yeah. So I use something called, rev.com, rev.com.
Okay.
It's a, you know, a transcription service. And then I use a, cause I mostly use LinkedIn from desktop, believe it or not. Like I don't use the app. I know from the phones, there are tons of apps.
Yeah,
that would do subtitling, but this is a great tool. It's very, very cheap. It's like $1 a minute and you can even get it for cheaper. It's pretty accurate. It's like 97% accurate. I just like review it one time. You know, if there are any like simple mistakes, like I talk too fast sometimes and they didn't get a word, right? Rev.com produces the subtitles. You get it into a SRT format, which is a subtitle format. You easily upload that, take your video. You can upload your video into LinkedIn and take that file and literally you can embed that on LinkedIn itself. You can upload that file into LinkedIn if you edit the video before you hit the post button. There's a place.
Wait, say that again? Sorry, I got confused. Say that one more time.
Yeah, if you go to LinkedIn and you upload a video,
yep.
Right before you hit post, there's a little icon that says edit this video. You click that and it allows you to upload that SRT file, that subtitle file. and that embeds that into the video. So there's a way to do it actually, you know, to embed it into the video itself. I use a tool called Handbrake. It's just a, it's also a free app, like just combines the video to the subtitles and embeds it into that. And I just upload the video like that. So, but you can also upload your video to YouTube and then you can hit the closed captions, you know, and then download your video from YouTube and that will come with the closed captions.
Yeah, I did that one time and the closed captions were not very accurate. I had this one. No, you don't even know. It was like, what was it? It was oh my God. It, like, I uploaded this video, right? And my brother was like, who's Jax from FedEx? I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, your video's hilarious. Have you looked at the videos? And right, I live in Thailand. My brother lives in London. And so like, I'm waking up to like 8 text messages from my brother. And like, there's screenshots of just like me, like caricatures, right? And it's like, Jack from FedEx shipped me. Ha ha ha. Your mom. And I'm like, what? Oh my God. Like, rush downstairs. You know, good thing I'm not like crazy viral content guy. I was like, God.
Oh man.
All right. So I love those. I love those suggestions. I love the suggestion. But if you want to go the YouTube route, I might double check before you.
Right. Some of the other apps also are like sometimes not so accurate. Rev.com happens to be like, I've found it to be extremely accurate.
Okay. We'll look at rev.com. And let me ask you something. So with the conclusion of all this with LinkedIn and you started 2 years ago, or well, I don't know if you started 2 years ago, Microsoft took over 2 years ago and you know, they're doing some good things. Have you noticed an uptick in your business from LinkedIn directly?
Tremendously, tremendous amount, tremendous amount. I mean, literally, you know, number one, establishing the brand.
Yep.
I think LinkedIn has contributed to that more than anything. You know, literally to the point where if you have a niche service, whatever it is, if you sell, you know, carpets, I don't know, if you you know, have like a floor cleaning business, window washing business, whatever it is you do, if you're an accountant, you have some sort of niche that you can focus on, you can literally establish yourself as that expert in that field. Now, everyone that sees you on LinkedIn, if you're posting consistently like I do, everyone will connect you with that thing. So when anyone needs that thing, and that's what branding does, when someone thinks of that thing, they'll think of you. And I can't tell you how many times, and this spilled over to Facebook as well, which I literally joined. I opened a Facebook account about like 6 months ago. Because I needed to like get onto a Facebook Live thing that I was doing, and I needed to have an account to do that. I'm like, okay, what's this about? And I started getting invited to all these like real estate multifamily groups, right? All of a sudden people start like tagging my name. Like someone's asking for cost segregation. People start tagging my name. Like, I don't even know who these people are, but they see my name enough and they know who I am. They know what I do. They immediately connect me to, you know, what I do. And that's the business, you know, branding that the power of LinkedIn has.
Love it.
And it's
love
free.
And it's free. Unlike, and it's free. Unlike that dollar app he was trying to push on us. That guy, God, who is he? Who is he and his knowledge? Very cool. Very cool. Well, Yona, I love having you on the show, man. Always a good time. I want to close it out with a three closing questions. And I've actually thought of this once we started talking. I was like, he's already answered some of them, but I actually have a new one and I'm going to come up with the other two on the fly. So, all right. First question is, if you were to live abroad anywhere in the world other than Israel, where would you live and why for 1 year?
For 1 year?
Yep. 1 year.
Oh, just for 1 year? That's a good question. Where would I live? I think I would like to live in... That's an interesting question. Okay. I never really thought about it. I don't travel too much. I mean, I've been to a bunch of places. I've been to Europe. I think I'd like to be somewhere like in South America.
Okay. I'm going to,
I don't know.
Pick one. Anyone.
Anyone?
Yeah.
Let's say Bolivia.
Ooh, Bolivia. Okay. All right. Cool. All right. Second question is, what is your favorite cup of coffee?
I drink black Turkish coffee. You know what Turkish coffee is thick.
It is thick.
It's like,
if you've never had that, folks, cup,
it's like this much, like grinds, like left at the bottom.
It is. It's like a.
Boost the bottom.
I mean, it's like a.
It's intense.
I mean, it's amazing. I want to say it's almost like a yogurt thick, but like not that thick. You put the little. You don't even do the little sugar cube in.
No sugar, no. I put a little milk in actually sometimes, but
okay.
All right. Just drops to the bottom. Those grinds go to the bottom, and it's just a caffeine intense. Yeah,
I moved to when I originally left the United States. I moved to Germany, and I lived in Berlin, and they have a big Turkish population there, and that was my jam. Those Turkish coffees, it was like so amazing. They have that copper like pot, right? Did you drink it?
Yeah. No, I don't do that. But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay. All right. Third question for you I'm going to have is, if you could change your name, your first name, to anything, what would you change your first name to?
Ooh, I don't think I would ever change my first name.
But you have to.
But if I had to.
You're a spy. You're a spy. You're going to Bolivia.
Oh, I was a spy. Okay.
So for 1 year, a Bolivian, you're going to be going in covert Bolivian spy with your Turkish coffee under the radar. Nobody's going to notice you. And you have to come in on a passport and you have to change your first name. What would that be?
It would probably be like, if I was going to Bolivia, it'd be like Frederico. Or I would actually probably change it. I think names have a lot of meaning to them.
Yeah.
And they're very connected to your soul and to who you are. And so I would actually change it to Abraham. Mm. In Hebrew, Abraham was our, you know, our forefather who kind of represented the act of giving. In our Jewish tradition, he's like the pillar of kindness and of giving. Mm. And so that's kind of relates very much to like who I am, my personality. So I think I'm very connected to that name. In fact, I have a son named that, but that won't change anything.
Awesome. Very cool. Very cool. All right, Yona, thank you very much for being on the show. It was a pleasure having you. For people that want to get in touch with you, where can people find out more about you?
I'll let you take a guess.
Instagram. Like this guy. LinkedIn. All right. I'll make sure to include your LinkedIn profile there for you. Well, awesome. Very cool, Yona. It was a pleasure having you on for the second time. You are the best second guest we have ever had. Ever.
I'll tell that to Omar.
Show. Yeah. Not telling that to Omar. He's a regular, right? All right. Very cool, Yona. Well, we'll catch you on the next go around, my friend.
Awesome, Matt. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. That was Yona Weiss with Madison Specs. I hope you did enjoy that interview. If you did enjoy and you found any value, please click the link in the show notes and leave a 5-star review. It would greatly appreciate with the algorithm. We appreciate it very much. And catch you on the next one. Peace.